Gospel according to Luke, chapter 13. Take our reading from verse number 1. There were present at that season some who got that culture of the Galileans whose blood Pilate would mingle with their sacrifices. Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. For those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Verse 24. Scribes, who enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is driven up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, ye shall answer, say unto you, I know not. That's the end. And so, for our reading, we could read on that. You take up the scriptures, your personal time, and read them, it would be in the proper. The Lord Jesus is the master teacher. You have the master teacher again. Speaking to the people. And notice that in this very same chapter, chapter 13, when those who were disturbed by what the Lord Jesus had said, and disturbed by what the Lord Jesus had done, they would speak to the people and speak against the Lord Jesus. For he convicted them by his own words of their sin. And the words of the Lord Jesus would convict men and women. And I can say this evening, and Len can say this evening, and others in this hall can say this evening, that they have been thankful that there was a time when the words of the very Lord Jesus, the word of God, penetrated into the heart and into the very depths of our beings, into the very soul. Your conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. But that's never pleasant to the natural man. That's never pleasant to the human heart. We never like to be told by God, just exactly who we are what we are, where we stand, and where we're going, and what we're fitted for. And God tells us the truth, and He doesn't mince words. I'm very thankful that God is a God that doesn't change. He's an unchanging God. I'm very thankful that the message of the gospel is an unchanging message. And again, we present tonight that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That He was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And the message doesn't change. And it came in the fall this evening. And notice that He was buried. I don't think they were on that side. It was just a reminder for me of the changing weather. New Zealand or Dunedin. 3 days ago, 30 degrees. This afternoon, couldn't get warm. And the changing nature of the weather, and as I sat down in the seat, I just thought to myself, I'm very thankful that I have the privilege to preach tonight an unchanging message. If the weather is changeable, God is unchanging, and the message of the gospel is unchanging. And again, the words of the Lord Jesus would come straightforward and plain, that except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now that's almost unacceptable in this day and age, isn't it? Go out and preach that in the street, that except you repent, you will perish. Well, we live in a world where no one's sinners, and it's just our own standards, and there's no absolute, and it's all relative, and you really can just live life how you want, as long as you don't really disturb too many people and you're happy within yourself. And we have for our own selves our own standards, and my standard might be different from your standard, and your standard might be different from somebody else's standard. But as long as you just bumble along so sweetly in life, and you're not really disturbing too many people, and you're not committing the grievous crimes of society, and you're reasonably upright, well, you're okay. That's not the message of the Lord Jesus. That's not the message of the Word of God. The Word of God is very straight and very plain. And the Lord Jesus again spoke to these people as they were doing what most people, if not all people, do. Having two judgments. In fact, if we were to go into Matthew chapter 7 and look at this parallel passage where we've been reading this evening, and see there that the Lord Jesus would speak about striving again to enter into the narrow gate. For broad is the way, wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there go that way. We would find at the beginning of that chapter that the Lord Jesus would be teaching that most men, this is the common thing, that they have two judgments, one for themselves and one for their brother, one for themselves and one for their neighbor. And the neighbor is always worse than myself. And I can always spot the things that are in other people. And I never seem to see what is in my own self. And the Lord Jesus would teach that we have two kinds of judgment, a judgment which is easy on myself, and a judgment which is always harsh on somebody else. It's about time I turned around to it, placed honestly the Word of God, understood that God doesn't have two types of judgment. God detests sin. We live in a society which accepts sin. We live in a society which promotes sin. But we live in a society which advertises sin. We live in a society which sells sin. We live in a society whereby it's just acceptable and it's almost become normalized. And if you don't live a life of sin, if you don't live a life, a godless life, where you're looked upon as some strange person.
Well, God, I'm very thankful He doesn't mince His words when it comes to sin.
and he's very straight and plain. And these people had two kinds of judgment. The Lord Jesus said, do you suppose that they were greater sinners upon whom the tower of Siloam fell? Do you think that's why it fell down? Do you think the people in the private mechanism of life with their sacrifice, do you think they were worse than you? The world is considering this today. My mind went to those dear, precious souls that perished under the ground. We were some of them. You think they were worse sinners than anybody else? No. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Think of those men on the ground for a moment, in a position of danger, in a position where they were beyond the reach of safety. You think of the two men that fell down. And it caused me to think of verse 24, strive to enter into the narrow gate. You think of those two men in a position of extremity underground. They're in a position of danger. What do they do? One of them, at least we would read about in the newspaper, that all his mind was focused on was to reach the light of that tunnel, to reach the exit of that hole, that to get out to that place of safety. As he made his way 2 kilometers down that mine shaft, that aiming for that, striving just for that place of safety, striving that he may reach at that destination whereby he would be free of this place of danger which he found himself in. He came to recognize that if he stayed where he was, there would be imminent perishing. He wouldn't survive. I wonder if there's someone in the meeting. If you stay where you are, you'll perish. I wonder if there's one in the hearing of the word of God. And the voice of God comes again. Strive to enter in to the narrow gate, to the straight gate. Strive. The urgency of the situation, the urgency of the message, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. The Lord Jesus Christ emphasized the reality of our condition as sinners in the sight of God. We have offended God. Though we are not that lovely little creatures which have just made a few mistakes, we are abhorrent. We're wicked to the core. If only I could see that, if only we could be convicted of that, we live in a society again which would paint us up as pretty little people that have just maybe made a few mistakes, but really, we're okay. God would never do that. He would tell us, this is what you're fit for. But he comes into the labor choir which burns with brimstone. Oh, the abhorrent nature of the sinful creature that has sinned against his God in the face of his God and lived his life in rejection to God and lived his life where self was number one and lived his life
in the life of sin. God would appeal. He would command.
And notice again with this, there's a lot. Strive to enter in. Repent. Except you will perish. There's no option when it comes to God. You see, when it comes down to me, I then have the option But what I'm going to do with this lovely message of the gospel, with this lovely message of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made a way, who has opened the door whereby we may enter into a relationship with the living God. Yes, undeserved, unworthy creatures such as ourselves, as we noticed last night in the reading of Holy Scripture, just fit to be cut down, to be cast out. But God in mercy sent His Son to a world by sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, in love towards our souls, souls that are fit for the pit, in love towards us, He took in His own body
our judgment, and He hung on Calvary's cross.
Do you know anyone like the Lord Jesus this evening? Do you know anyone who has the power and the authority and the ability and the right to cut us off and cast us out? For that's all we're fit for.
Yet we came in love and grace and mercy, laid down His own life so that we could help Him,
so that we could receive life.
So you were fit. And so all likewise.
Strive to enter in the urgency of the message. Strive to enter in to the at the straight gate, at the uniqueness of the message, that there is not an alternative, my dear friend. There is only one way whereby we may be saved. We must be saved. We can be saved. There's only one
through whom we can enter. That's the wonderful person of the Lord Jesus.
There's not salvation in any other. And the urgency of the message is that we are commanded to enter, to strive to enter in. As my thoughts went to those miners this afternoon, there was one walking down, making his way, striving with all that was within his being to make his way to the place of safety, recognizing that finally the danger that he was in, and he would see someone along the way, one of his friends, one of his colleagues, his workmates, and he picked him up, and he almost dragged him to safety too. We understand the urgency and the dreadful, indescribable seriousness of what it would be to perish, what it would be to be cast into the lake of fire, what it would be to be separated from God in eternity.
God has no pleasure in that end of the world. My dear friend, repent. Accept. You will pray. That's the message of the gospel. Yes, we are guilty in the sight of God. No, we haven't just made a few mistakes. We have a life which is stained to the core with sin.
We are by nature depraved. We are by nature monsters of iniquity. We have the ability to commit the most hideous crimes, if there's any in the meeting this evening. And we don't understand that. Would to God that we do. I have the ability, with the nature that I was born with, to commit the same crimes as the most despicable atrocities that have been committed in the world, committed by a human being like me. And I have the very same nature within that is just fit for the pit.
But the blessed Son of God loved me and gave Himself to me and came and suffered the rejection from God, from man,
suffered rejection upon the tree as He hung by those nails in His hands and feet,
with a crown of thorns upon his bleeding brow, and there understood what it was to enter into darkness, in which the Bible describes as the blackness of darkness forever, the place of rejection, the place of the lost, the place of the lonely.
That's not a sin. That's where he went to. Let's not lighten the load on the shoulders of the Savior. Let's not pretend that he didn't enter into what it would be to be cast out of his sight. Indeed, he was cast into the depths of the sea. He went down to the bottoms of the mountain. The waters came in to his soul. He was submerged. He was immersed. The waves and the billows crashed over and over upon his sinless, holy, spotless soul. And he endured. He endured the cross. Despising the shame, the wonderful, lovely Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Son of God, he endured the cross, whereby we may go free, whereby through repentance, putting our trust in the Savior, believing, putting our confidence in him, we may never know the terrors of a lost eternity, being without God, without hope, in a position cast out from the very presence of Almighty God, that we may know what it is to dwell in the light of His glorious presence. We may know what it is to be blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. We may know what it is to walk God our Father. We may know what it is to walk in the light of His Word. We may know what it is to have the promised hope of eternal bliss. I must reiterate this point. I've been thinking about it a lot today. Why did God say that? Why did God save me? Why did God save you if you're a Christian? Why does God want to save you if you're not a Christian? So I can escape hell? So I can escape what I deserve? No. I don't believe that is why God saved me. So I can escape that. I deserve that. And I deserve the lowest order. I deserve the harshest judgment. I deserve to be cast out. I believe that He saved my soul. And I believe that He saved your soul. And I believe that He wants to save your soul for this reason and this reason alone. So that He may receive glory. So that he may get what he intended from the human being. A free will response of love and obedience. Are you saved this evening? Bless God that you are blessed. And you have been blessed. And you will be blessed. Thank God that we enjoy what we don't deserve. Thank God that if you're not saved, He wants to save you. He wants to bless you. And that is the product of salvation. The blessing, the dear friends, the Lord Jesus suffered the cross, that he may receive the reward of his own suffering, that he may cast his eye upon the travail of his soul and us be satisfied? No, that he may be satisfied. That he bore a cross so that he could receive the reward of his son. May God bless you, Lord Christian. I ask you, are you baptized? Do you walk it, pleasing, bringing glory to the one who died? Or is it a pathway of salvation? Are you saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus.